Good morning. I have some very, very important announcements, so I need you to pay attention because we need a lot of help today. The Christmas tree needs to be brought up, and it's downstairs. It's not too late to take a bizarre flyer and place it in your favorite hair salon, grocery store, restaurant, store, library, or wherever people will see it. Remember to sign the registration pads. That was my first one and I missed it. Bazaar needs pop. Pepsi. Yes? We don't need Diet Coke. It just says Pepsi, Coke, and Sprite or 7-Up.
That's all we need. So we need the Sprite and the Pepsi, but just
12
packs of each.
And which ones you want now? You don't need Pepsi?
Yes.
Pepsi?
Pepsi
and 7-Up or Sprite. Okay. Here's another very important one. All that wonderful sugar that we have collected. You don't want it in your car today. Oh, well, cross that off. Rick's going to do it. And remember last week I told you I needed men here today to pick up tables? Oops, we don't need the tables today. So the men have to come to church again next Sunday. Hooray! So next Sunday we need that. And your newsletters are on the back table if you didn't pick them up already. So are there any other announcements? Rick.
From all over the West Michigan area, and they all want to give Emmett a card, appreciation for his service, and had wonderful things to say. One of the most important, I thought, was that they classified him as a man of God, and I completely agree. So let's give him a hand. Additionally, one prayer concern we'll get to that in a minute, but I just want to add here. Ralph Houston, who is the pastor of Emmanuel Reformed Church in Bentonville, only has a couple of weeks to live.
I know, he's wonderful.
And he and his wife Sandy do your prayers, but he is in great spirits. Spoke with him at the meeting as well as afterwards. And, great guy, he's looking forward to being with all of us. Just keep him in Sandy.
Ralph and I got acquainted. I was a substitute in a room, and he was a substitute. There was two of us. And boy, I learned so much about his history and what his dad did and everything. I saw him a few weeks ago, and I didn't recognize him. And Sandy is very faithful, too. Are there any other prayer concerns, Joey? Move the tables. Can we do it today, Rachel? So it'd be better to do it today then. Okay. Men, you're moving the tables today. That was very thoughtful of you to think of that. Are there any joys or concerns? Oh, Rachel?
Prayer in my little gift that I need prayers for my dad to do with me.
A lot comes out of that prayer box, doesn't it? Trudy?
For our friend Larry, who has cancer.
Can you speak a little louder?
Our friend Larry has cancer of the tongue, and we're speaking, and he's really failing and needs lots of prayers.
Larry.
Larry Pete.
Okay, Weba? I can't hear you. Your family. It's nice to see Don and Audrey here today, too. Harvey?
Continue prayers for my wife, Duran. She's a little bit better than you take about 15 pills a day. And she's not out in 2 weeks.
Oh.
She is a little bit better than pneumonia. Met with the doctor twice last week. She's still in tomorrow. But thanks, everybody.
Rich? Bone cancer. Well, who's that? Rick?
Yeah, I enjoy answering.
Oh, see, I thought you were waving for me to choose somebody out here, and I thought... She can't work at the bazaar. Thank you. Well, Ruth? Oh. Okay, bellboy. Thank you. If you're able, will you stand for the call to worship? Rejoice in the Lord always.
Again, I say rejoice.
God is good.
God's love endures forever.
Give thanks to God.
God's faithfulness never ends.
Bless God's holy name.
Worship God with glad songs and joy.
Let's continue with the opening prayer. Almighty God, you know how many of us receive your blessings. And how many of us give thanks and praise. Forgive us, Lord, and make our hearts more sensitive to your beautiful mercies, especially when you bless us through the ministry of others. Help us to be more grateful and more thankful. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Now we'll sing hymn 102. Now thank we all our God.
Good morning. I was thinking back, I can't remember this time, but back in the day when we didn't have the kind of heat that we have now, there would be somebody that would have to come to the church early on Sunday morning and start a fire in the old potbelly stove that was probably in somewhere in the sanctuary, maybe in the back. And I have a suspicion, back in those days, if it was this warm, everybody was okay. But things have changed. It's different now. This is Thanksgiving Sunday, and so our theme is being thankful. And I will share with you that I'm thankful that my wife is home. She spent the week out in Maryland helping take care of Emily's and Nick's three girls. It was Emily had a conference and Nick had to spend some time in Europe. So She was out there, and it was time to leave, and one of the twins, they are 3 years old, said, well, one didn't want Grandma to go, and the other one said, no, Grandma, go home, get Grandpa, come back. So I felt wanted a little bit there, and I'm glad Mary didn't go back, and not yet anyway. And I tell you, kids are one thing, and grandkids are, they're way beyond. So we want you to think this morning about being thankful, and especially being thankful in a way that's perhaps not typical or ordinary. I'll talk about that later. I want to invite you to a time of prayer. We'll pray silently, a brief pastoral prayer. We'll share the Lord's Prayer together, and then we'll sing from the hymnal, the chorus, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. It's number 405 in the hymnal. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together. Lord God, as we come into your presence this day, we offer to you our praise, our worship, and our gratitude. We have much to be thankful for, and though life is difficult and hard at times, you are with us, and you help us, and you encourage us, and so we thank you for that presence that makes the difference in our lives. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for our families, for our friends, for this church family. We thank you for the measure of health and strength that we experience in our lives. We thank you for opportunities to work and to serve and to share with others. We thank you for all of those who love us and whom we love. And we're grateful that we can share this service today. And we're grateful for those everyday joys and blessings that we experience and sometimes do not acknowledge. We understand and know in our hearts that we are unworthy. So we ask for forgiveness for our sins and our failures. We pray for grace. We pray for your Spirit's help so that our lives might be more pleasing to you and more harmony with your word and your way. We offer prayers for hurting people. We know there are many people who hurt in our world. We pray for the concerns shared moments ago in the service. We offer prayers for people and for kids as well. We pray for your presence and your love and grace in their lives. We offer prayers for those who are on our hearts this morning. We offer prayers for our world. We pray for peace. We offer prayers for our nation, for our leaders. We pray that you might work through them for your purpose and will in our nation and in our world. We offer prayers for the church. Our prayers go for that larger church that includes many different churches and many different places in the world. We pray that you would bless your church, and as your word is shared this day, it would accomplish its purpose and not return empty or void. We pray for the churches here in Saugatuck and Douglas and the surrounding area. We pray your blessing upon them and that you would use them and us together to share your love with people. We pray for the United Methodist Church and the difficulties the church is going through. We pray that somehow in all of that, that you might bring good for your people and that the cause of Christ, the building of your kingdom, would be furthered. We pray for this time together as we share together as brothers and sisters in Christ. May our worship be pleasing in your eyes, and may you, in your way, speak to each of us according to our need. Hear us now, we ask, as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning I'm going to read Psalm 148, and it's a very appropriate choice for Thanksgiving. As I was reading it this week, you can't help but feel gratitude when you praise the Lord, and I felt gratitude, and I ask you to reach within yourselves and think of all the things you're grateful for from our Creator. And I also challenge you to read this psalm at home sometime this week before Thanksgiving. I think it'll set your heart in the right place. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all the hills, fruit trees and all the cedars. Beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all the peoples, princes and all the rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted, and his majesty is above the heavens and the earth. His majesty is above the earth and the heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite you again for our healing prayer, and I will lead us in the prayer, and when it comes to the place where I pause, that is your opportunity to speak the name of someone you would have us pray for, either aloud or silently. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for Lord, in your mercy. At this time, our ushers will wait upon us and we'll receive our offering. It's also Noisy Can Sunday, so we're about to get those. Thank you. Blessings, we say thank you. We pray that you would receive the offering today, bless it, and use our gifts and us to your service, to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now we'll sing How Great Thou Art on page 77.
Oh, Lord, my God.
let me offer this prayer. Heavenly Father, pray that you would bless us as we look to your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A young woman wrote home to her mother from college. This is what she wrote. "Dear Mom, sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm has been broken. I broke it and my left leg too. When I jumped from the second floor of the dormitory, we had a fire. We were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were here in minutes. I was in the hospital a few days, and Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day. And because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. He has been so nice. I must admit that I'm pregnant. Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he can get a divorce." Then she writes, "I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine and will write more when I get a chance. Love, your daughter Susie." And P.S., "Mom, none of the above is true, but I did get a C in sociology, and I flunked chemistry. I just wanted you to receive the news in the proper perspective." Perspective. It makes a difference. And we see things differently depending on our perspective. Our scripture this morning, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it's here that Paul writes, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." The Amplified Bible, I've used that before. It's a version of the Bible I like because it takes some of the words and it expands their meaning, and so amplified. This is how that passage is translated. "Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will." For me, that's a hard verse. I guess I have to admit that my perspective isn't always what it should be. I don't always see things in such a way that, at least in the moment, I find it difficult to give thanks. And there have been, my wife can witness to this, there have been many times when I have complained about my circumstances. There's been times when I've had a bellyache that wouldn't go away. And if I understand Paul right, he's saying, in all circumstances, in everything, no matter what, be thankful, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And that's not easy. There are times when it's easy to be thankful. There are times when it's easier to whine and not be thankful. Sometimes it's easier to complain than it is to say, "Praise the Lord." And I just wonder, does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Do you? You know, the first thing I'd like to ask Paul is, do you know what you're talking about? Do you know what it's like to experience loss and heartbreak? Do you know what it's like to have a dream shattered? Do you know what it's like to have a friend desert you? Do you know what it's like to suffer when, as far as you can tell, you haven't done anything wrong? Well, I think Paul has answered those questions. This is his testimony. He says, I've worked harder, been jailed more, beaten up more times than I can count, and at death's door, after that, I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews, 39 lashes by Roman rods, 3 times pummeled with rocks. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I've been in the open sea for a day and a night, traveled year in and year out. I've had to forge rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by desert sun and sea storm, and betrayed by those I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather. And that's not the half of it. When you throw in the daily pressures and the anxieties of all the churches, when someone gets to the end of his rope, I feel the desperation in my bones. When someone is duped into sin, an angry fire burns in my gut. That's from 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29. So, in reality, Paul knew what he was talking about when he said, give thanks to God in all circumstances. If I could ask Paul another question, did you know that in your own life, Paul? Did you give thanks in every circumstance? And again, in the Bible, we find Paul's own words, and almost every one of his letters begins with the word of thanksgiving. It didn't matter his circumstances. When he was in Rome, you know, he was in prison, and he writes, first, I thank my God for all of you. When he was in Corinth, he said, I always thank God for you. To the church at Ephesus, he wrote, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in prayer. Church in Philippi, I thank my God every time I remember you. In Philippians, to the church in Colossus, I always thank God when I pray for you. So his letters are filled with thanksgiving. He's always, even in prison, finds things to be thankful for. I was remembering something that happened about 12 years ago. Our son and daughter, Darren and Beth, were expecting their third child. And his name would be Lucas. He's 12 years old today. And this summer he was playing baseball. And I told you about what happened. He had one moment of glory during the summer. Maybe more, but at least one major moment of glory for a little leaguer. He hit the ball over the fence for a home run. I admit I was never a great baseball player, and I admit I never hit a ball over the fence. He achieved that. This fall, in eighth grade, seventh grade, he played football. He was on the team, and he played football. And then later this fall, he tried out for the basketball team. His dad was a really, really good basketball player, and he's built a little bit like his dad, maybe a little stouter, but tall. He tried out for the basketball team, and there were 30 guys that got cut from the team, and Lucas was one of them. Now, I thought about that, and I had to say, thank you, Lord. And the reason being is 12 years ago, when he was born, before he was born, the doctor said, and I'm not sure how they know all these things, but they said, your son has only one kidney. But he should be okay. Should be okay. He was born. He looked healthy. He looked vibrant. He looked like any baby looks. And they did some more tests, and they said, we've got some bad news for you. Your son, his bad kidney that really doesn't exist, was destroyed by a cyst. And there is a cyst on the other kidney, and in time, it will destroy his kidney. He won't live very long, and there isn't anything we can do about it. And they told them that, and I looked at Lucas in the hospital. I could not believe what they were saying was true. They had an appointment in a few days with an expert, a specialist. Their church, they attend, has a time for prayers for healing at the end of the service on some Sundays. And so they went forward and asked for prayers for Lucas. And then a few days later, they saw the specialist. And the specialist looked at the x-rays. And he came out. And he said, who told you your son has a cyst on his kidney? His kidney is fine. There's no problem. And, we were overjoyed. But we went from not expecting a grandson to be with us very long to him living a normal life so far for a little boy. He played baseball. He was fortunate. He had one great moment. I wish every kid could have at least one great moment in something, you know. And he played football. He was not the star of the football team, but he played. And he got cut from the basketball team. Hey, we're grateful that he's here with us. He's living a normal life. There's a verse in the Bible. It's Romans 8:28. It says, all things work together for good for those who love God. I think sometimes it's hard for us to look for those good things that can come into our lives in some of those circumstances that we don't like, that are hard, that are difficult, that bring tears into our lives. I've strayed a little bit from what I have here, but that's okay. I want to use one more personal experience. A couple of years ago, I went to the doctor's office. Prior to that, I had a blood test. And no big deal. That happens all the time. It was in the winter in February, and we, for several days, we had snow. And I was running my snowblower and shoveling snow, and I noticed my arm was starting to get bigger where below where I had the blood draw. And I thought, well, this is where I didn't think very well. I thought, well, just working should help it. That's not always true. And I did a little more shoveling than I usually did, and by Friday night, my arm had gotten really big, and it hurt. So on Saturday, I went to the urgent care, and they sent me to emergency. And you all know this story, but they did a routine blood test, and I discovered I had leukemia. Doctor in the emergency room was pretty excited. He wanted me put me in the hospital right then. And I said to him, why? I feel fine. So they did some calls with the doctor, and they said I could wait. Didn't have to go into the hospital, and I got connected to a blood doctor in Grand Rapids, and you know the story. But here, I had this arm. It was swollen. It hurt. It took weeks for it to get back to normal. And if you had told me before I went to the emergency room to be thankful for that arm and the way it was, I would have said no. But God was able to get me headed in the right direction because I had that problem with the arm. I could tell you many experiences in my life, and maybe you could tell me in your life, if you thought back, of difficult times that came, that I struggled through, that brought hurt and tears, and yet God was able to bring good to me or to others out of those experiences. And I'm not saying that we give thanks for the experience, but in that circumstance, we can give thanks to God for the good that He's promised for us and for others through it. Perspective makes a difference. So, in all circumstances, with God's help, give thanks. Heavenly Father, it's easy to be thankful when life is easy. Sometimes it's more difficult when life is hard. Help us to know that when life is hard, that You are there with us, helping us, and that Your word is true. If we allow You, You will bring good in every circumstance to our lives. Help us to believe, and help us, as Paul said, to always give thanks. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our last hymn. It's a Thanksgiving hymn again, hymn number 92, For the Beauty of the Earth.
The glory of the skies, for the Lord.
Please join me for the benediction as it's printed in the bulletin. Grant us, O Lord, that which we have said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.